John Grisham is a familiar name to most of us, not only for the books that he writes, but the movies that come from those books. His new book is called The Litigators, and he joins us in studio today. Good morning.
Good morning.
I first want to check something with you. Is it fair, do you think, to call you an activist at this point?
I don't think of myself as an activist. There are certain books I write where I take an issue, whatever the issue might be. I have several of my favorites. And sort of weave a novel around the issue, and I think those are probably the better books. Some books, though, are just pure, as Graham Greene called them, entertainments, without an issue, without, you know, a message. You can't preach a whole lot in popular fiction.
Well,
you turn off a lot of people. You know, just because you have the pulpit doesn't mean you get to, you know, bully people with your politics or opinions. First and foremost, the goal is to entertain.
So which kind of book is this? I mean, in this book, they're taking on a major pharmaceutical company. There's a lot of talk about doing testing on drugs in other countries, even though most of the drugs are sold here in the United States. Obviously, they go very in-depth in the way that the drug company works and carries out their studies. Is this a message book or not?
That's pretty accurate. That's factual. I didn't create that. No, this book is not a... This is more entertaining. It's probably the funniest legal thriller I've ever written. I tried to be funny. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it was just a romp. It's a funny story about, you know, a couple of ambulance chasers and lawyers who get a big case and get it ready for trial, and they're way out of their league, and the results are disastrous. But they're kind of amusing.
But a lot of the humor comes from the absurdity of the system in the tort system in the United States, both in terms of the people who want to change it, who are one set of scammers, and the people who actually use it to their own benefit, who are another set of scammers. And somewhere in the middle there is the truth and the protections for the consumer. How intimidated and distraught are you about the state of torts in America? It's perennially a political debate in the United States.
You know, I was in the Mississippi legislature in the early 80s, and we were dealing with tort reform back then, and it was contested, it was heated, it was expensive. Both sides, you know, raised a lot of money, spent a lot of money, and the fights were bitter, and that was 25 years ago. Over the years, we've had a considerable amount of tort reform in almost every state, and even efforts to do it nationally. I think for the most part, those reforms have not been good because I come from the other side of the street. I was a street lawyer, a plaintiff's lawyer for 10 years, not very long. But I saw a lot of abuses, and I see the abuses now on my side. I'm really turned off by the advertising, the nonstop TV advertising, the lawyers, you know, just begging for cases. The billboard advertising, the really sleazy stuff you see now, and these are often not real law firms. They're more like scammers who get the cases in and refer them to another law firm in another city, and it becomes just
like agents.
It's a business, and I find it very unseemly. So, the truth is in the middle, but there are abuses on both sides.
Well, you get a little bit of a joke out of that in the new book called The Litigators, where they're advertising $3.99 divorces on the bottom of bingo cards, right? We're speaking with John Grisham, obviously best-selling novelist. And the new book, as I said, is called The Litigators.
You know, $3.99? Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah. But
well, that's to get you in the door. It's the old bait and switch. They'll get you in the door for $3.99, but you're going to pay a lot more than that.
Right, although the couple that comes in at $3.99 expects to pay $3.99, which is part of the humor. Let's talk a little bit about some of your books do try to address unfairnesses in our legal system. And your first nonfiction book dealt with a wrongfully convicted death row inmate. You're on the board still, I think, of the Innocence Project.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this is something that you believe in deeply. It's something that to a certain extent you want to use not just your fiction writing but your position to correct. And I wonder, you know, you were in the Mississippi State Legislature from 83 to 90, so almost as long as you were a lawyer.
Correct, yeah.
Why is it the legal system that you feel driven to try and fix and not the political system?
I know the legal system very well because obviously I still think of myself as a lawyer. I'm glad I'm not practicing law. I know it, I understand it, and I'm able to write about it in such a way that I make it accessible to people in a very entertaining fashion. When I can take an issue, especially wrongful convictions, and that's the issue that got my attention 5 or 6 years ago. I'd never paid attention to it before. I'd missed the first wave of DNA exonerations back in the 90s. I was asleep at the wheel, and I missed all that. And I'm always looking for, you know, stories and issues. Once I sort of went into the world of the wrongfully convicted and realized how many innocent people are in prison still going there, still languishing there and can't get out, and how many guilty ones are not there, and what that does to the system but also to our society, I got really worked up over it. I wrote the book, and it's an angry book about a guy who was almost put to death. And that really opened the world to me of the world of the wrongfully convicted. And there are so many of them in prisons right now that it still bugs me. And I'm probably going to write about it again. That's why I'm on the board of the Innocence Project in New York. We want to put guilty people in prison and keep the innocent people out. That sounds very simple, but it's far more complex than that.
You know, I want to ask you about something you said one time, because I tend to think that your work conveys both a sense of your competitive spirit, which is formidable, but also a love of the law. And one time I heard you speak, and you said something that I've never forgotten. It was that there are a lot of cliffhangers and suspenseful plot lines in the legal profession. But one thing is clear, that if you don't have access to a lawyer, it's always going to turn out badly. It's always going to – that lack of access to the law is really the huge narrative that saddens you deeply.
Today in this country – half of all Americans, half of us, do not have access to civil justice. We say, okay, we have way too many lawyers, and we do. We have too many corporate lawyers. We have too many government lawyers. We have too many small-town practitioners, you know, stacked along Main Street. We have too many of those people. We don't have enough lawyers because half of all Americans do not have access to civil justice. And it's getting worse. It's extremely frustrating. I love the law. I love the criminal justice system because I like to observe it. I get terribly frustrated when I see injustice that could be easily fixed. If we would just fix it, it's easy to fix. I get on the civil side, I get really frustrated when I see people who have legitimate claims and need help and can't get it because they can't get a lawyer. And that's, you know, again, that's grist for the mill, stuff to write about. There are a lot of these really sad cases out there that I'm sure I'll explore.
And does Troy Davis perhaps advance the conversation? I mean, does a terrible situation like that help to bring about the kind of reforms you're looking for?
I don't know if it's going to bring about any kind of reform. It certainly is an example of a case where, you know, when you have some serious questions about the evidence – and there were serious questions about the evidence. Why can't you stop the execution? I mean, there should be a mechanism somewhere to stop it for a while. And that, I mean, he was in prison for 20 years, so it did drag on. But it's extremely frustrating to see our system unable to stop an execution that should be stopped.
John Grisham, his new book is called The Litigators. Already optioned for a movie?
No, the movies are far, far more difficult to make these days than they were 15 years ago. Those are good old days.
I'm still putting my bets on your books.
Put some robots in your books.
Thanks. Or zombies. Zombies are big. Thanks for joining us.
So your witness, folks. You want to talk about what John Grisham said there about the legal profession? We'd love to hear your response as well. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our site, thetakeaway.org, where there's a great conversation going on about President Obama's decision to pull troops out of Iraq. Join that conversation or any other on the program. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.